propose to convey to you the first section, some 11 or 12, 13 pages this morning, of this doctrine of regeneration, the document, the scriptural doctrine of regeneration. Because of some unforeseen encumbrances, we are not able to do it this morning. We shall be able to convey it to you, to give the pass out, rather, to you, this document next week. The entire document, I've looked at it, I've prayed about it. It looks like it's going to be some 85 pages or so. Question is, what do you take out? Amen. All of it is speaking to the essence of, amen, the essence of what we are in Christ. What have we become? What did God make us to be?
Yes.
As a member of the body of Christ, what are you? What does being saved, receiving salvation, born again, all of this actually mean? Amen. What type creature are you in Christ Jesus? This is what regeneration addresses. And so, what do you leave out? Amen. It is so much, and I know that we could speak from here, amen, until the rapture in relationship to all of these things, and still not exhausted, but still we are compelled to give the enlightenment of those things that God has so given unto us, that we may impart them unto you.
Right.
And so we shall maybe in groups of 12, 13, 14 pages each, give them out to you. And for those that may be listening on the web, listening to this message on the website, you will find this doctrine, the scripture doctrine of regeneration, part one, I should call it part one. It's not really part one. I'm just going to convey it in parts. The scripture doctrine of regeneration in the doctrinal discourse section. All right, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. And basically, what we will do is, Brother Deacon, there are several verses. Elder Liverman, why don't you, amen, why don't you set up to hopefully also be a reader this morning. There's quite a bit of reading. I want to do some juxtaposing this morning as we compare the physical, natural, earthly view of regeneration, compare it with the pure spiritual view of regeneration. Amen. There's a big difference. There's a great difference. And many times they are intermingled and they are basically confused one with the other. And it causes one to lessen the appreciation for the essence of regeneration when you do not really separate the spiritual from the natural, amen, or what is perceived, amen. Many people view regeneration strictly in a physical sense, and so it is so very important that in order for us to get the true impact, as I've said, appreciation of what we are in Christ Jesus, that we have this information. so it is so critically important for us to be cognizant of what God has actually done for us.
Yes.
And it goes beyond what we look around and we see, or we think we see.
All right.
Let's go, Deacon, start off with our base scripture, which we shall be reading Titus 3 and 5 for many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
As we come before you, and several months as we come before you. Titus, as we look at this, it is so very important. I know church ministries are into many things, and as you look out and you see the appeal that is made, it's basically made to the flesh. It is made, amen, to the sensitivities of drawing a human response.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, we dare to hew closely to the scriptures and the appeal that it makes. The scripture makes and it is basically highlighting the indicative.
Mm-hmm.
That is the knowledge. I pray that though we may be small in number in this congregation, we can be powerful in knowledge.
Yes, sir.
And so we dare, amen, to focus and prioritize the epistemology.
Mm-hmm.
That we walk within the knowledge of who we are. There are going to be times in your life you're going to be facing many great things that seemingly come against you, and
mm-hmm.
without this knowledge, it clouds an appreciation of what you are,
mm-hmm.
and who you are.
Right.
Amen. And it is only those who have reached that, and God, amen, through His process, takes us through these things so that we can experience the essence of knowing that the things that are around us, they're temporary. They
mm-hmm.
they have no significance in relationship to eternity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And life does not consist of the things that are here, the things that we possess, the things that we physically behold, the things that we interface with on a daily basis. All of these things are temporary, and they're going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a point where none of these things will be in existence anymore. And so we dare to focus and prioritize the things that will always be with us.
Always.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not real if it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, now you see it, now you don't. Amen. And even if we are like a voice in the wilderness, even to those who are part of this assembly, even if we're like a voice in the wilderness,
amen,
crying out, we shall continue to cry. We shall continue to exclaim. Because this is what the Word of God is conveying to us. And so we will not compromise. And, we will not be drawn into the secular aspect of appealing to those things that some of us may be more interested in.
All right.
But our interest in a thing does not define, amen, its importance. And so what is important is what God deems to be important. I was talking, communicating with a certain minister, with one of the renowned ministers and pastors on the East Coast. I won't call the city or the church, but basically, he was saying that the thing that we are teaching is off base because eternity or eternal things are only eternal from God's viewpoint.
Wow.
And I beg to say, what viewpoint is important? Amen. You say, if it's not from the earthly viewpoint ascertained or realized, it must not be. This is basically what he is saying. Amen. It's not about what we think. It's about what God has decreed.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, you have the truth that is in the decree, mm-hmm. and then you have lies that are spread abroad. Amen. But it's the truth. It is the truth.
Amen.
That whatever God has decreed, that's what it is.
Yes, it is.
And what he has not decreed is not.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so we dare to go into the scriptures, into the depthness of them,
yes.
and to let the scriptures speak and tell it from God's viewpoint.
Right.
Amen. I'm not interested for how it looks from my viewpoint or
right.
your viewpoint,
right.
but what is it from God's viewpoint?
Yes, right.
Because that's the true viewpoint.
Yes.
Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Amen.
In Titus chapter 3, Brother Deacon, you know, we don't like to run, jump in the middle of something. So let's begin at verse 1 and go down through and including verse 7 today. Our focus is on verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we shall go through the basis of these verses, as I've said, and they are a springboard for bringing enlightenment of this information. All right, everyone has Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read or read.
Getting at verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Titus 3, 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us
mm-hmm.
by the washing of regeneration.
By the washing of regeneration.
And renewing of the Holy
and
Ghost.
And renewing, of course, we're going to go into the Greek there. That basically will be brought out in greater light. All right, verse 6.
Which he shed on us abundantly
mm-hmm.
through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen. Now, that's where we take our aim, and that is to the conveyance of when. When did he do this? When did this occur? Amen. Verse 7.
That being justified by his grace.
And that's why we're going to the Greek.
That's right.
Read it.
That being justified by his grace,
mm-hmm.
we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
All right, now, those of you that have your Greek Bibles, I want you to follow here as you read. Those that of you who do not, amen, listen very closely and intensely. But Deacon, I want you to very slowly, amen, not too slowly, but very slowly, read verses 5, 6, and 7, amen, as we give hopefully some direction in bringing out these eternal workings of God. Amen. I just go on record. These are all eternal workings of God.
Right.
Amen. Regeneration. the washing of regeneration. Amen. It's eternal. Eternal is, amen. We must understand these applications. Amen. There will come a time in your life that this will be critical information.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. There is nothing no more important than knowing that you are eternally set and fixed. You always were.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Even before you were, amen, manifested in the flesh.
All
even
right.
Before you were born, before you were created.
All
amen.
Right. Yeah.
The first creation, amen, is the essence of what God did in placing you in Christ, in the body of Christ, in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And if we ever get this understanding, then we know that the manifestation of us being born after the similitude of Adam in depraved flesh in manifestation, amen, it follows, but it cannot negate
right.
What God first did.
Hey,
you all don't hear me this morning.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And if you understand this,
yes.
Then this goes on down into life.
Glory.
And no matter whatever else is happening, what does happen,
mm-hmm.
It can't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
It will not change anything.
Okay.
Amen. On. And so, amen, what God did first
yeah.
Is what he did. And what he did first
mm-hmm.
Overshadows.
Yes.
It absolutely overshadows anything that happens in life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So the eternal work of God cannot be annulled. It cannot be made void. Amen. By the expressions in manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm.
But you can read that.
From the Greek text, Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works in righteousness which did we,
mm-hmm.
But according to the of him mercy, he saved us.
Okay, the first part is that in righteousness, amen, which he did, which we did rather, which would have to be in the sphere of time.
That's right.
Huh? That has to be a deduction that because we were not in eternity.
Right.
Amen. So the first part of that speaks of that which is impossible for us to have done in relationship to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now the explication goes on. If you can see the difference between the sphere of time and the sphere of eternity, the sphere of time is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
The sphere of eternity is what God has done.
All right. Yes. That's done.
And the sphere of eternity,
yes.
Amen, overrules the sphere of time.
Glory, yes.
This is what the Apostle Paul, and somehow they miss it.
Amen.
All right, read.
But according to the of him mercy,
mm-hmm.
He saved us.
According to his mercy,
mm-hmm.
He saved us.
He saved us.
Someone said, when did he save us?
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, well, personally, it was 16 years ago when I decided, when I made a choice and decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we must address. Amen. That experience you had, as real as it is to you, it is limited in its manifestation aspect
right.
To the fact that this is the day that it was revealed to you
revealed.
Who you are.
Right.
But who you are, amen, and what you are
right.
Always was.
Yes.
And it is tied to the decree of God.
That's right. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is important because there are some things in life that are going to challenge you.
That's right.
And going to get you to a point of despair
yes.
If you do not understand
yes.
Manifestation in time from actualization in eternity.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. All right? So, he saved us.
Yes. saved us.
Thank God.
How did he save you? How did he save you?
Mm-hmm.
How did he save you? Read.
Through the washing of regeneration and renewal.
Through the washing of regeneration.
And
he saved us through the washing of regeneration. And you notice here that preposition, sia, translated through, is in the genitive, it's in the genitive case. Genitive case gives a man indication that something owns something else. Amen. How did he save you? Amen. Through. Amen. So whatever he did, amen, your salvation is through or it is owned by something. What is your salvation owned by? Read that. Through what?
The washing of regeneration.
Through washing regeneration. Here the Greek noun, lutrope. The Greek noun, lutrope. And notice, washing is not a verb, but it's a noun. Washing generation. Here, the Greek word for regeneration, is also a noun. It's in the genitive case. Allow me to go to a little grammar here, amen, because I'm trying to bring this point, and hopefully, amen, it'll solidify something here.
Mm-hmm.
It is thea lutro polye nesias.
Mm-hmm.
Through washing regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
They are all in the genitive case.
Whoa.
Amen. Washing regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Washing regeneration. Amen. It goes together. Washing regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Cleansing regeneration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. It cannot possibly be through anything in time. This regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Come on with it. Come on with
all
it.
Right? So, you are regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
Regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
Regenerated. Keep reading.
Mm-hmm.
And what?
Through washing of regeneration and renewal, Spirit holy. Of
and
holy.
Renewal.
Spirit of the
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Follow me again here. Here it actually reads from the document. K and I can the cells, pneumatos, IU, which is and renewal Holy Spirit. Again, all nouns, all genitive. So your salvation belongs to washing, generation, and renewal of Holy Spirit. Now some will say, what does this really mean? When you look at the prefix, re, it means what? Again, to do something. Return means you've been there before, right?
Huh?
Recount means you've counted before.
Yeah.
You've done it before, right?
Yeah.
Hmm? Re. When you see all of these re's, regeneration, redemption, reconciliation, resurrection. Re. Again. Now that go by that just goes by ministering. But that's no getting around the fact that it means again.
Yeah.
And so it's pointing back to something that previously occurred. Oh my God.
Look out.
We've got to take regeneration, justification,
yes.
Sanctification, glorification. Yes. We've got to take all of the workings of God out of time, amen, and situate them where they actually belong in eternity. And if God did it, it can never be undone.
That's right.
So away with this foolishness. Saved in the morning and lost by noontime. If you're lucky, you make it to sundown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. And I know that's how they get service. Amen. But I'd rather close up shop than to resort to those tactics. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on.
What you do in time, amen, is a manifestation. That's the after action or the manifestation of the action that was decreed in time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You were saved in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
The regeneration is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Every aspect of who you are, you always were. Amen. And all you're doing in your mind, amen, through illumination, is going back to the fact of what, amen, you were originally in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Now I know this is antithetical to everything that is being taught in most circles. Amen. They've got people with all type of prescriptions for being saved, getting saved. And we're going to tackle this. Finish verse 6 and 7 from the Greek. Then we're going to, amen, to basically go to our discourse here. Amen. This is so very important.
Please. Verse 6. Which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior
so
of us.
So according to that, when did he shed? If you understand verse 5,
mm-hmm.
It is no question when the workings of verse 6 occurred.
Right.
When did he shed? When he shed what? When he, the regeneration washing, renew a Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
He shed it on us.
Yes.
The question comes, when? Amen. And this is what our discourse here is about.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. Verse 7.
In order that, being justified by the of that one grace, heirs we might become.
Here, that is a subjunctive
heiress.
How?
According to a hope of life eternal.
Of eternal life. Amen. We won't dwell there this morning. Amen. You know what? We make eternity and eternal life be some way out thing.
Yes.
That you might see.
Yes, yes.
If you do the right thing. If you do the wrong thing, though, you're going to blow it. You're going to miss it.
Yes.
Amen. It's not happening unless you do the right thing. Man, now, we don't teach this so that you'll do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to learn this to go to do the wrong thing. You just be yourself and do the wrong thing.
That's it.
Amen. This information is for encouragement and stability.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. So that you can view life in the grand and great and glorious blissfulness of which God has certainly made it your lot.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness.
Yeah.
And regardless of what's happening now, and of course some days, you know, we things are pretty peaceful, good, happy, quiet. And, you know, other days, like everything is, this is not the real life. This is not the real life. Mm-hmm. And so our focus must be on the essence of who we are. We're members of the body of Christ. And what we are. What does regeneration entail? What is regeneration? Now, when we look at this, we realize that many construe the work of regeneration in various forms. It's viewed in various different ways. There are those that would go back into the Old Testament, and right quickly, let's turn to Deuteronomy 30:6. Amen. And this is, we're just doing the, we're just doing a comparative analysis of how it is viewed by some versus, especially how in the Old Testament it is viewed. Amen. And many are limited in their understanding of it because they have received the words and documentation in the Old Testament, and it stopped there.
Right.
Amen. And of course, I've said to you, always look into the other writings from the standpoint and knowledge of what God has revealed through the revelation of the mystery.
Right.
Amen. All right? Deuteronomy 30:6. Read. Elder. 30:6. I'm sorry.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 30.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 6.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart,
mm-hmm,
and the heart of thy seed,
mm-hmm,
to love,
mm-hmm,
the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
All right. Now, that's, you see, the greatest disservice that the ministry does is they go back there, then that becomes their view of what regeneration is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very shaky view.
It is.
Huh?
It is.
Because it's dependent upon what you see. But in the essence of God, in time, what you see is not really what you get or what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, Elder, let's go to Ezekiel 32:26. Take another view of what some true regeneration to be. Amen. And again, with these limited views, you see some conditions in some of these, in these passages.
Yeah.
You see conditions. You see conditions. Amen. And in the other covenant, there are conditions. And we shall get into it a little later in our discourse. There, these conditions are as stated. Amen. You must understand at different times, in different manners, in different ways, he revealed, he expressed, and communicated to his elect. Amen. But you must always look at this. Now, what he has just read, amen, I can look back there, and even if I saw, went into the context, and I saw some condition, I'm not shaken, because I know I'm looking back.
Right.
It's like, amen, the fact that we drive automobiles today, and we look back on the horse and buggy era, amen, we don't get shook up about that, because we know we're not going back there, huh? Isn't that true?
We know
we're not going back there. Amen.
Thank God.
So it doesn't, that, amen, has the, it's limited, really no impact upon us. All right? You've got it? Ezekiel 36 and 26. I'm sorry, what did I say? 32, 36 and 26. Amen. As we look here at the old covenant view of regeneration is. All right? Everybody got to say amen. All right? Read, Elder.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stone heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh.
All right. That's another view. When you contextualize that, the passage, amen, there are some inherent conditions in it. And if you're not careful, if you go back there, amen, your view of regeneration, amen, is just, it's shrewd. It's shrewd. It is not the clear picture that our gospel gives
right.
of what you are. Mm-hmm. Amen. You are more than the reading of those passages. All right, let's go to Proverbs 3:3, and then Proverbs 7:3, and then Jeremiah 31:33. Amen. Here you see the portrayal of regeneration, of which there is improvement here, because it moves from that which I have just read, amen, to a more secure relationship. But yet, this is still being spoken from the physical view. All right, Proverbs 3:3.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart.
All right. Okay. Now, write it upon your heart. Amen. Here, this is spoken with a view towards something. Go to 7:3. Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 7, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Now, this is, some say, if you get the word of God in your heart, and you have to get it in your heart, keep in your heart, and then you're regenerated. See? So now, there is some implied condition there that will be explained, which gives the contrast between the Old Testament, which is the law, and the New Testament, which is the kingdom message. But remember now, that's still not your gospel.
That's right.
Let's go to Jeremiah 31. The New Testament, of which many ministries embrace by saying that we are spiritual Israel. Amen. But there are limitations in that covenant.
Yes.
Of which there are some terms and there are some implied conditions, even though, amen, the Lord himself, amen, is the one who takes on the responsibility of deliverance. But when you get to our gospel, and we'll see that in a minute, amen, there's no such thing, amen, and the implication is all spiritual, not physical.
All right?
Jeremiah 31:33, just read that one verse there.
33 or 31?
31, Jeremiah 31 is where the new covenant is.
Okay. Jeremiah 31:31.
31, well, all right, 31, 32, 33. Yeah, you're right. I'm fighting against time.
Amen.
All right, but okay. I guess that we'll just read all three of them. Read.
Amen.
Everybody got Jeremiah 31:31. Say amen.
Amen.
Read.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel
now,
and with the house of Judah.
This is spoken in prophecy before the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is prophecy, but it is couched in the essence of forming God's new agreement with Israel, amen, which gives testimony that the old covenant was insufficient. So all of the things that we have read coming up, to, all of those things said, do this, allow this, don't allow that, amen.
No.
All of this now is covered, amen, and we thank God for this. Read it.
Verse 1, 32,
mm-hmm.
Not according to the covenant
mm-hmm.
that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. That's the old covenant.
Which my covenant they broke,
mm-hmm.
although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
All right, that's unilaterally he is speaking there. But again, regeneration is still viewed from what? From time and from the earth and from the temporary aspect of the earthly viewpoint.
Amen. Amen.
Which makes you think that is something floating around out there not done.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now you would say, then why doesn't it say it here? This is not the place. This is all reserved, and this is what Paul is speaking about when he said that these things were hid from generations before they were revealed. So you've got to go to our gospel. You've got to go to the mystery. You got to go to mystery truth, wherein all of these things are revealed. Amen.
Yes.
And the view is not from time, but where it is from eternity. Here, this is all from time. Finish reading that up. Reading that.
Verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Which makes it a view of that which has not happened.
Right. Amen.
But that's the view. Mm-hmm. So amen. It looks like there's some unfinished business that God hasn't done, but that is the view from time because that's what is in that covenant.
All right. That's right. All right. Amen.
And then that carries on over into the kingdom apostles. Follow me now. Follow me. We might run a little over, but we started early, so we're still going to get out on time. Let's go to John chapter 3. They call it the Gospel of John. Okay, all right. If you recognize that better, the Gospel of John. 3:3. You know, chapter 3 of John. You know, the famous John 3:16.
Uh-huh.
Which gives inference that this is something that is not done and you've got to do something to get it done.
Oh.
And what it says there, it means. But that's what's in that covenant.
Yeah.
And the information there is limited. Read that.
John 3:3.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him.
Right. That doesn't work. All right. Go back to 1.
John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees
mm-hmm.
named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by name and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Which gives the inference that it is something that hasn't happened. But that's what's in that covenant. That's the limitation of that information.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist because it is not conveyed here. And then we take that entire chapter, which we have exegeted in our document, to those that might be listening, document election. We have the entire third chapter of John exegeted. But from the viewpoint of us having the knowledge of regeneration being eternal, even though in that document, in these verses, in that context, does not say it because it wasn't time. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus all he knew. He saved it for Paul.
Oh, glory. Thank God. Yes.
And so when we look at this,
amen,
it speaks of something being born, gives the impression that you're not born, that you've got to be born. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again.
Yes.
But that's the knowledge according to that covenant, which is limited. Are you all following me this morning? All right. And so we look at the writings of the other kingdom apostle.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. Here it is spoken of as viewed in the light of the covenant, the new covenant. Everybody got 1 Peter 2 and 9? Amen. All right. It's toward this. You got to pass all of Paul's writings. Amen.
Right.
You got to go past all of Paul's writings.
That's right.
Amen. You got to go all, keep on going. Amen. James, then get to Peter. Got it? All right. 1 Peter 2 and 9.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
Uh-huh.
But ye are a chosen generation.
Now, I cringe every time I hear a preacher preaching and putting and affixing that to the church. Read.
A royal priesthood. A holy nation.
Now, these are all what we call anthropomorphic terms. And some even try to somehow patriotically make that a part of an appeal to this nation. We've got to become a holy nation. That's why God has allowed the plane to run into the buildings and the hurricanes to come and destroy and kill people, because we've drifted off into wickedness. We're fast becoming an unholy nation. When was this nation ever a holy? We're not here to deal with politics, though. Finish reading that.
A holy nation,
mm-hmm,
a peculiar people,
mm-hmm,
that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light.
All right, so this is, again, this is what it is taught. And now we get to the fact that your new conduct and so forth. And conduct is very important. I say this because the first charge against those that preach grace is that we're soft on morality. Amen. So certain statements we have to make. Amen. Militate against that type thinking or those type charges. Amen. No. This information is given for the purpose of you doing better, not doing worse. Amen. Now, as we wind up today, let's go to our gospel. Amen. Finally. Let's go to Galatians, and of course, we went here, and everybody here that's been following ministry should be very familiar with these passages by now. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 6:13, and this is where we'll close out today. All right? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Read. Well, first, everybody got it? All right. I still hear pages, but that's okay. Amen. It is so important. It is so important. This is the most important thing. I mean, for instance, if you were like one of those victims of the hurricane and everything you had, your house, everything was wiped out, mm-hmm. Is your life over? Huh? What is your view of life at that point? You know what I mean? Can will you be able to say thank you, Jesus? No, you know, they said, no, not for that. No, but your praise to him goes beyond. Oh, my God. I can see natural man not understand, but if God's people,
yes.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us. And remember, when the storm struck through there, it was indiscriminate, as the president say.
It got
the rich, the poor, the black and white, but it also got the saved and unsaved.
It did.
Saved people lost everything
that
they had.
That it did.
Hmm? Some of them had been part of these prosperity ministries, and all of a sudden, you don't have anything left.
That's right.
Amen. And then, of course, I'm sure, and of course, our heart continue to go out to them, amen. But I'm sure that most of them today they don't want to hear no prosperity message.
No.
Talking about take my stuff back from the devil, and all of that. No. You need something that's beyond all of that.
Yeah.
You know what? You need something that can't be tampered with.
Yes.
You need something that can't be disturbed.
Yes.
You need something that's untouchable, unshakable, unmovable. Y'all don't hear
Hallelujah.
Me. Unmovable.
Hallelujah.
That's what you need.
Yes.
Read.
Right here. Galatians 3, beginning at verse 26.
Uh-huh.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have
mm-hmm.
put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
See, no, you say you already are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't see no will be there.
No.
Huh?
Thank you.
That's what... But you see, you don't get that information until you get to the grace covenant.
Amen. Amen.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Pastor, we're going all over the place. Well, we've got to. Amen. I want to steer you in the right place. I have to show you where the wrong place is.
Right. That's right.
2 Corinthians. Chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
verse 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, read.
5:17, 2 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
those that are in Christ,
he is a new creation.
And if, and we exegeted this in the perfecting class, that if there's not a condition in relationship, in fact, if you properly exegete that,
right,
there's no word underlining if. There's a subordinating thing there that speaks to the end that those who are in Christ.
In Christ.
So that can be read, those in Christ,
mm-hmm,
those in Christ,
mm-hmm,
and Paul is only expressed in this sense because he is not, if he said, if you're in Christ, he's not saying, amen, you got to get in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying those who are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's not making any statement as to who's in and who's out. And neither should you, and neither should I, ever say who's saved and who's not saved, who's regenerated and who's not, who the unregenerate is. I don't know. You don't either.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Read. Those in Christ.
Those in Christ a new creation.
New creation. New creation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time, amen. Go back to the document,
mm-hmm,
where we did exegete that,
mm-hmm,
in the body of Christ. You'll see in essence here that reads, that inference there is before creation.
Yeah. It really was.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are more than a new creation.
Mm-hmm. Bring it out.
And the word firstborn,
mm-hmm,
for which they said Christ was the first of many,
mm-hmm,
the Greek word is prototokos.
Mm-hmm.
It means, pro means what? Before. So basically, it speaks up before creation. So you are a before creation.
Glory to God.
Now I come up, I give gesture, either through shaking the preacher's hand or going to a mourner's bench or back to the tarry room, standing before someone giving a sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, I'm a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Not physical, it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not speaking about these bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And we mix up. We confuse the old man with the new man.
Mm-hmm.
This is what messes us up.
Mm-hmm.
Even one of us mess up. Somebody say, oh, you just gave the body of Christ a bad name. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No, you. Amen. All you did was gave testimony to who Adam is.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Amen.
That's it.
Oh, you know you did. You can't put no bad mark on the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, no, you cannot.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Did you finish reading that?
All right. Old things are passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Now, here, that is in the present tense. All things are new.
Mm-hmm.
Are new.
Glory.
Because become gives the impression of some success, succession there. Amen. But we've exegeted that. We don't have time this morning. All right. Lastly, let's go to Romans 6:13.
Hallelujah.
And then we'll exit today from that.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Which, if you can remember, we exegeted that. Romans 6:13. A couple weeks ago, we exegeted that. All right, read.
Romans 6:13.
Mm-hmm.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness.
You know we have to go to the Greek there, don't you?
Got to.
All right, read.
as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin,
mm-hmm.
but yield yourselves unto God.
Okay, now, with that misconstrued exegesis and translation,
yes, yes,
it gives the impression that regeneration involves something that you have the power to do,
mm-hmm.
and then when you look around, you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. Give me just a few minutes here. If you go into our gospel and you see something that even remotely resembles some condition, you read it wrong.
That's right.
It's been translated wrong.
That's right.
The commentary is wrong.
That's right.
There are no conditions in the gospel of grace.
Can't be.
All right, go to the Greek. Listen closely. And we did touch on this a few weeks ago. I just want to briefly hit it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What is regeneration? What is regeneration? All right, everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Listen closely, those of you who have the Greek Bibles.
Romans 6:13, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Neither present ye the members of you weapons of unrighteousness to sin.
All right. Now, here, very quickly, I'm not going to, I don't have time, and the time is gone here. You have the Greek verb peristarsite, which, peritarnete, which is an imperative present.
All right.
Which speaks of that which should not be done.
Right.
This is not the proper thing that is done.
Mm-hmm.
That is all it is saying. Now we go to the second part of that. Read.
Mm-hmm. To sin, but...
Here you have strong, you have the conjunction there, but adversative conjunction, Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
But present ye...
They did it the same way. Here you have the verb... parastisate. Here it is said present, but this is an imperative aorist.
Oops.
Which means this is a command that is past and completed. Which means it is speaking of that which is done and that you are able to do because it is something that is done. The first one is speaking of time. The second one is speaking about what you are in eternity. Read. Mm-hmm. But what?
But present yourselves to God as from the dead living.
As out of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how were you brought out of the dead? How were you crucified in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
When were you crucified with Christ? Present that which you are.
That's right.
Over what is required of you that you're probably not going to do.
Woo!
Good.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
In the testimonial acts of regeneration, in manifestation, there is a depiction of God changing the nature of the person regenerated. In this limited view, the same soul exists, but differently in terms of its recipient's relation to God. The same body physically, but with a new spiritual mindset. Here, one experiences an altogether new taste for the loveliness of spiritual things, and these are manifestation. especially as they are taught in God's word and personified by Jesus. Mm-hmm. But even in this physical or natural view, it must be understood that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he was resurrected, and Lazarus, of course, was passive, was active. He didn't do it.
Nope.
But still, he was simply an object that Jesus manifestly resurrected by his almighty power, but not in the sense of true regenerated form.
Right.
And so, when Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, he was still Adam.
Yes.
He was not Christ.
No.
Now, we'll take up next week here, as we state that this is not what is referenced in the eternal sense, a mystery revelation that we see first man Adam, second man Adam, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as I close today. But it's the spiritual view that we are focused on. And that is, the spiritual view is when God regenerated his elect in eternity. These recipients were also passive, but in the sense that this all occurred before they existed. In manifestation, you were the new man first. You were positioned in Christ before you manifestly existed. You were adopted in the body of Christ before you manifestly existed. This is, in essence, the explication wherein God performed this glorious work in his beloved when these subjects were deemed as being spiritually dead and brought to life in their placement in Christ. This is all manifestation. Amen. So it's not going, forward. It's going backward that God, did the eternal work first, and then he manifested that which comes back. And so the solution is at the beginning, not the end. Because it was all actualized by his decree in eternity or before the creation of the world.
Amen.
And this all occurred before you ever physically existed.
Thanks.
Amen. So the scripture revelation of regeneration in this view stands far beyond the depiction of it as the work of God's Spirit by which he takes away a stony heart and renews one willingness, power, as is conveyed in the other scriptures. Amen. Oh my God, you were regenerated from the beginning before you ever existed in these physical bodies. Amen. You, as the lake of God, were regenerated in Christ Jesus. We'll take up that next week. This is information we need. Amen. And we don't ever jump and shout. Amen. Of course, you get the understanding of this. Amen. Without the organ or the piano, the drums, or any of that. In your heart, will leap and jump and shout. Say, God always did love me. Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise. Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 Yes,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Glory to God.